Good morning, everybody. Really good to see you. And you know what? I know it's a good morning because it started with a full English breakfast together with a group of men from this church. Now, if you're a man here this morning and you didn't know that this was happening and would like to join next time, then please speak to Rajan after the service. Can you stand up, Rajan? Okay, he is the breakfast king. Okay, so we had a great group, but if you hadn't heard about that or weren't part of it and would like to be next time, Rajan's your man. I also know it's a good morning because whilst us men were feeding our bellies, not to put too fine a point on it, a group of godly women were here praying. They were praying for us, they were praying for me, and they were praying for today. Now, I believe there were five women here at 8 o'clock this morning. I don't call them the famous five, I call them the faithful five. Okay? But thank you to you for being here and laying the foundations for today in listening to and speaking to God. There's also going to be some of you who are going to gather this evening at 6 o'clock here at church to pray. There are some of you who gather online on Wednesdays at 7:30 to pray. Some of you will get here early for the church meeting tomorrow night at 7:15 to pray. And if you would like to get a bit more involved in the prayer life of this church, please join me and several others who are going to just be at the back of the service at the end today. We're just seeking to gather to pray and to listen to God's heart in developing the prayer ministry amongst us. Fiona and Rajesh are particularly leading on that. I've seen Fiona this morning. Where is she? Okay, you want to stand up for us, Fiona? If you want to get involved in the prayer life of the church, we'd love that. Please speak to Fiona. Okay, well, back to the passage. So the passage in Luke 12 that Scott read for us, if you've been here the past few weeks, you'll know that we're in the middle of a preaching series from the Gospel of Luke. Derek referred to it earlier, looking at some of the teachings of Jesus. And in the last couple of weeks, we've looked together at two of the parables that Jesus told. We've looked at the parable of the sower and the parable of the rich fool. Now, today's passage, Luke 12, verses 22 to 31, continues on directly from the text of last week. And I'd encourage us to keep that context in mind as we reflect on it together. But before we do that, I've got a little quiz question for you. I know there's some real quiz masters here. So let's see. My question to you is, what do these things all have in common? Now, you don't have to be too civilized about this. If you think you know the answer, you can call it out. Okay, you don't have to put up your hand like a good year seven. First thing, being late. Second thing, the weather. Third thing, this sermon. There's always someone to keep you on your toes, isn't there? And it's Jenny Wright. It's a great guess, Jenny. My wife. Oh gosh, she's given me the raised eyebrows. That was unpredictable. Isn't it good when there's somebody who knows you better than anyone else? The string that runs through all of these, the thing they've all got in common is these are all things that I have worried about in recent times. Let's see the full list. How I look. You! Not being on top of things. A few of you have seen my office recently. My children. My weight. My colleagues. What to say in a difficult conversation. Letting other people down. Finances. Losing my keys. There was a wonderful moment a week ago when I went for 2 or 3 days without my house keys, without my church keys, and I finally found them in the little drawer at home where I'm exposed to put them when I come in. My mental health. All things that I found myself worrying about at some point recently. I wonder if any of you can identify with any of those. I wasn't necessarily expecting you to call out amen there, but maybe you can identify with some of those, because most of us, if we're honest, do worry about things from time to time. We worry about various things for various reasons. Part of our humanity, possibly. And yet here in this passage, Jesus tells his disciples not to worry. So what did he mean, and how can we apply it to our lives today? Before we consider these questions, perhaps we should spend a few minutes checking that we first understand what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying that food and clothes are unimportant or a roof over our head, as we heard Bob sharing about a moment ago. We all need food, don't we? And even if the book of Genesis tells us that originally Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden naked, I'm pretty sure that if I tried that in Richmond Park today, I'd probably be arrested. Clothes are important. Food's important. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful pizza lunch served up by Fiona and her team, and the community meals that take place on the fourth Sunday of every month at Malden Manor, those are certainly examples of blessings from God. We can't always, however, just expect food to appear on the table in front of us in the wonderful way that it did and does on those occasions. If we're able, we should work to feed ourselves and our families. We should work to buy the clothes that we need, to pay the bills that we owe. Jesus isn't advocating a false spiritualization of life. Jesus isn't suggesting that we should neglect the physical aspects of life and focus exclusively on the spiritual. Not at all. You may have heard that phrase, the kingdom of God is not pie in the sky for when we die, it's steak on the plate while we wait. It's corporal. It's in the here and now. Secondly, Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't take life seriously. He's not advocating a laissez-faire attitude to life, one where we just sit back and let it all happen. Yes, God is powerful. Yes, God doesn't need us to bring about his kingdom purposes. Doesn't need us to bring about justice and freedom, forgiveness and healing, but he does choose to involve us. And he does ask us to be responsible and accountable for using the gifts and the opportunities that he's given us. in a couple of weeks' time, we've got the parable of the talents that we're going to be looking at. And that helps to illustrate the importance of this. So if we are physical beings with physical needs, people to whom God has given a life with value and a life with responsibility, isn't it normal for us to experience a certain degree of worry? Most of us, I'm sure, get anxious about one thing or another from time to time. As you've seen by that list I put on the screen earlier, I do. I have. I do. And I probably still will. And if you find yourself getting anxious sometimes, then please hear this. If you suffer with anxiety, if you're someone who worries about things, if you're someone who wants to do life well, but is concerned about falling short, if you're someone who cares for others and who finds yourself worried about their well-being or their relationships or their walk with the Lord, hear this. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being genuine. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for caring. And thank you for being real. We spent a few moments looking at some possible things that we might misunderstand from the text, but let's look at what Jesus is saying and how that helps to shape our perspectives and our priorities. It is easy for us to start perhaps with Jesus' well-known words in that second part of verse 22. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. But actually, the reason why I've highlighted a couple of words in yellow there is we would do well not to skip over the first half of the verse, for two reasons of context. Luke, in his account, starts that verse 22 with the word then, and Jesus begins his teaching with the word therefore. Now, the reason for that is that this passage refers back to what has gone immediately before. It links with the text that Mike spoke on last week, the parable of the rich fool. Then, Jesus speaking to his disciples immediately afterwards, therefore, building on what he has just said. In that parable, you may remember, God condemns the rich fool for his greed, for his self-reliance, and for his failure to trust God to provide for his needs. And it's against that backdrop of sinful behavior, self-centeredness and selfishness that Jesus brings this teaching not to worry. And he uses it as a counter illustration of how to live simply and wisely instead of selfishly and foolishly. Secondly, Jesus brings his teaching in the context of relationship. This is Jesus talking to his friends, talking to the disciples, the ones who he walks and talks and eats and prays with each and every day. Jesus is not offering these words out there into the unknown. He's speaking them to those who he knows. And that's how God works. Because God knows each one of us intimately. He loves each one of us unconditionally, and therefore he can challenge us by speaking the truth in love. Now, those of us here who know and love Jesus are also his disciples. And I know from my conversations I have over the course of my days and over the course of my weeks that there are actually many situations for many people which are tough at the moment. Ones that do cause us, understandably, to worry, whether it's justice issues, finance issues, whether it's relationship issues, whether it's health issues. And as I was preparing this, reflecting on the diversity of things that we collectively have and hold in our lives, I had a sense that rather than me say too much about those, what might be better might be just to pull out a few core truths of this passage and to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and to us about each one of them. Now, this is a little bit of a different approach. I'm going to, from this point, say really relatively little. But what I'm just going to pray is that as I pull up on the screen a few of the truths which are either contained explicitly or implicitly within this passage, that as we just pause to be silent, we will allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to each of us what God might have to say to us about it in the context of our own lives. So let's just be quiet. Truth one that this passage tells us is that God is in control. Let's just reflect on that for a moment. If there's aspects of your life where it feels you're struggling to keep up, where you don't know which way to turn, where you don't know what the outcome will be, God is in control. Second truth contained in this passage: God made us. I know we know that, but let's just take a moment to let the Holy Spirit remind us of the worth that that gives each and every one of us. God made you. God's in control. God made you. God loves us. One, obviously, of the core and essential truths of Jesus' teaching. We know it at head level, but let's just take a moment to pause. God loves us. God loves you. And I know that although that is in many ways a self-evident truth, some of us really struggle to accept that because we don't feel that we're worthy of being loved. If that is you, I want you to know that God says to you this morning, I love you just as you are, but I also love you so much that I don't want you to stay that way. And that's why I sent Jesus. Fourth truth, God knows what we need. Doesn't mean we shouldn't ask him, but God knows what we need. Some of us have real physical or financial needs. Some of us have need of security. Some of us need either to forgive or to be forgiven. Some of us need hope. Some of us need encouragement. Some of us need rest. God knows what you need. And he promises that if we put him first, he will provide all we need. Never promises he'll provide us everything that we want. But if we put our trust in him, he will provide all we need. If you're here this morning and you're doubting that, I don't think God wants to condemn you for that. But I do think he wants to say, be at peace about that. If you put me first, I will provide what you need. And then finally, we can trust God completely in this. God's promises are faithful. We are here today because he has brought us here. God's word says that all his promises are yes and amen through Jesus Christ. We can't trust so many things around us in this world. But we can trust God. three other things just want to share to reflect on, all linking in with this text. The first is a paraphrase of Jesus' words in verses 29 to 32 that were written by Eugene Peterson in The Message. This is the same passage that we've read, but phrased differently. And some quite interesting emphases. Again, I'm not going to comment specifically on them, but if there's something that strikes you as we look at it, for you to hold and to take away from you today, with you today, let's just ask the Spirit to do that. Jesus, again, talking to his disciples, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. Not to be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Second thing, Bear Grylls. This is stuck on my office door. I think I might have quoted it before, but it says in succinct form, a message for us to take away today. Always keep the big picture in mind. You're greatly loved by Jesus, and your job is to love him and others in return. The rest is detail. Finally, Philippians 4:6 says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We've had some time to be quiet. We've had some time just to listen to the Spirit. But I want to offer us just a little bit more time now to respond. In a moment, we're going to play a song, during which time there'll be the opportunity to respond to any of the things perhaps that God has put on your heart in one of three ways. Maybe the response coming out of today's passage that we need is one of repentance. Maybe you've realized that you have been worrying too much about self-centered things rather than God-focused things, and that you need to say sorry for that. Maybe, actually, it's thanksgiving. Can we have that one up on the screen, please, chaps? Maybe you've seen God at work. Maybe you've seen him providing for your needs in the way that we've read, either in an amazing way or perhaps actually quite an everyday way. And maybe you want to say thank you to God for providing for your needs. Thirdly, maybe you've got some requests that you want to bring before God. Maybe you're in a situation that's just taking up a lot of your headspace. It's taking up a lot of your energy. And you want to bring it before God, asking him to provide for what you need. Maybe something physical, maybe something financial, maybe something health-related, relationship-wise, maybe a justice issue. What we're going to do, we're going to play the song. And I've got here, just down at the front, if you would like to, some pieces of paper and some pens. If there's something God's put in your heart, either that you need to say sorry for not trusting him with. If there's something that you want to give him thanks for, where you've seen him provide for you. If there's something you want to ask him for, where you've got a need, you really want to see him come through on. Feel free, as the song plays, just to come up, to write it on the card, and just to place it in the box as a physical act of trust and of bringing these things to God. If you prefer to stay in your seat and just pray quietly and listen, that's fine. But can we just listen to the song and respond however you feel led?
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
When I am falling short, when
Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you made us and that your word tells us for all who receive you, for all who believe in your name, you give the right to become children of God. Thank you that you love us as your children, dearly loved, that you love us just as we are, but you love us so much that you don't want us to stay that way. Thank you that you know our needs. I bring before you the requests that have been written down and put in this box. Requests known to you, Lord. I pray that you'll provide in your time, in your way. We give thanks for those things that we have seen you do in our lives in many amazing and wonderful ways, and also many ordinary everyday ways. Lord, we do say sorry when we forget our priorities, when it becomes about me and mine and my things rather than your kingdom. Help us to seek first your kingdom, and all these things will be added unto us, as your word says. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.